This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Welcome to your Sunday liturgy. This is the program that accompanies you as you prepare for the Sunday Eucharistic celebration. After the Sunday liturgy, you can listen to our bulletin of church news that will be followed by Panorama. Then, our feature, The World Around Us, with news about our environment. I'm Father Paul Samasumo.
Our Catholic Lenten spiritual life can be said to be based on three or four pillars: repentance, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And all of these are anchored on the greatest commandment of love.
First Sunday of Lent.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses spoke to the people, saying, "The priest shall receive the basket from you, and shall set it in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, 'My father was a wandering Aramean who went down to Egypt with a small household and lived there as an alien. But there he became a nation, great, strong, and numerous. When the Egyptians maltreated and oppressed us, imposing hard labor upon us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and he heard our cry and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. He brought us out of Egypt with his strong hand and outstretched arm, with terrifying power, with signs and wonders. And bringing us into this country, he gave us this land flowing with milk and honey. Therefore, I have now brought you the first fruits of the products of the soil which you, O Lord, have given me. And having set them before the Lord your God, you shall bow down in his presence." The word of the Lord.
Reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, what does Scripture say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is, the word of faith that we preach. For if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart, and so is justified. And one confesses with the mouth, and so is saved. For the Scripture says, "No one who believes in him will be put to shame." For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, enriching all who call upon him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone." Then he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant. The devil said to him, "I will give to you all this power and glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I may give it to whomever I wish. All this will be yours if you worship me." Jesus said to him in reply, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." Then he led him to Jerusalem, made him stand on a parapet of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him in reply, "It also says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time. The Gospel of the Lord.
Now with this week's Sunday Liturgy Reflection, here is Father Enobong.
Here we are again in the season of Lent, a special season dedicated to prayer, fasting, and works of charity, a time we journey with Christ through the desert for 40 days, contemplating with him on the important mission he has to accomplish for our salvation in the coming days. Oh, what a great privilege it is that at a time like this, we are called to intensify prayers for peace in our world, a time to cling to God and seek his mercy and grace. The invitation to pray, fast, and do works of charity, the signature activities of this season for every Christian, shows how important these activities are in our lives. Many of us Christians do claim we have prayed enough, we have fasted enough, but can we also say we have done enough charitable works? Many of us pray a lot. Many of us do fast. Some of us can fast for days and weeks, but for some of us, these pious activities unfortunately do not match up with the charitable work we are meant to do to promote the good. Let us all take this period of Lent to intensify in doing good works that will concretely bring to manifestation our prayers and fasting. May the message of Christ in all its richness continue to find a home in our hearts through the same Christ, our Lord. Amen. Peace be with you.
Father Hilary Munyaneza, Father Enobong Daidion contributed to the program. I am Father Paul Samasumo. Do stay tuned in for our bulletin of church news and later the world around us, all about our environment.
Living waters flow on. Sweep away my pain. Bring your healing to my heart. Help me love once again. Cares and worries get me down. Fear of failure fills my day. Knocking at my door, strangers seeking love and care.
Okay.
I am Festus Tarawali. Pope Francis continued his recovery from double pneumonia on Saturday after a good night. A brief statement released on Saturday morning by the director of the press office of the Holy See said the night passed quietly. The Pope is resting, read the statement. The Holy Father's clinical condition has remained stable for the past few days as he receives treatment at Rome's Gemelli Hospital, where he was admitted on the 14th of February. On Friday evening, the press office director, Matteo Bruni, said the Pope spent his day alternating between prayer, rest and work as his respiratory physiotherapy continues. The statement said he alternates between non-invasive mechanical ventilation at night and high-flow oxygen therapy during the day via nasal cannula. During the morning on Friday, the Pope spent about 20 minutes in prayer in the chapel on the 10th floor of the hospital where his room is situated. Throughout the day, said the statement, he also carried out some work-related activities. A more detailed medical update is expected to be released on Saturday evening. The press office director also noted on Friday that it was the Pope himself who insisted on sending an audio message on Thursday evening at the beginning of the Rosary prayer in St. Peter's Square to thank those who have been praying for him and for the messages of support. The recitation of the Rosary continues this Saturday with the 13th gathering scheduled for 9 p.m. local time. The prayer will be led by Cardinal Michael Czerny, Prefect of the Dicastery for Promoting Integral Human Development. Cardinal Czerny will also preside over Mass for the Jubilee of Volunteers on Sunday in St. Peter's Square. The fifth major Jubilee event has brought together thousands of members of non-governmental organizations and volunteer organizations from five different continents. During the Mass, Cardinal Czerny will read the homily prepared by Pope Francis for the occasion. Our listeners on shortwave radio in Africa can listen to the English language commentary of the Mass from the 17540 kHz frequency on the 16-meter band beginning at 10:25 local time in Rome or 8:25 UTC. Pope Francis sent a message on Saturday to a pilgrimage of the Italian Movement for Life, which is celebrating its 50th anniversary. The Pope signed his message at Rome's Gemelli Hospital, and it was read out during the anniversary Mass in St. Peter's Basilica by Cardinal Pietro Parolin, the Vatican Secretary of State. As Devin Watkins reports, the Pope called on Christians to take the side of unborn children, whom he says represent every person who has no voice.
As he recovers from bilateral pneumonia at Rome's Gemelli Hospital, Pope Francis has sent a message to participants in a pilgrimage organized by the Italian Movement for Life. Cardinal Secretary of State Pietro Parolin read the message on the Pope's behalf on Saturday at Mass for the pilgrims gathered in St. Peter's Basilica. "Continue to place your trust in women, in their capacity for welcome, generosity, and courage," said Pope Francis in his message. Women, he added, must be able to count on the support of the entire civil and ecclesial community. He lamented the pressure that contemporary society places on women with its focus on possession, action, production, and appearance. The Church, he said, seeks to counter society's message by promoting the dignity of the human person and prioritizing those who are weakest in the world's eyes. "The unborn child represents every man and woman who does not count, who has no voice," he said. "Taking their side means standing in solidarity with all the discarded of the world." Pope Francis called on Christians to foster a civilization of love which frees women from the pressures that push them not to give birth to their children. He said it takes a gaze of the heart to recognize unborn children as one of us. The Pope went on to praise the Italian Movement for Life, which was set up in 1975 and runs several centers that assist women with difficult pregnancies or who are under pressure to seek abortion. "Their work," he said, "promotes a culture of life with frankness, love, and tenacity, closely uniting truth with charity toward all. Life is sacred, created by God for a great and beautiful destiny," he concluded. "A just society is not built on eliminating unwanted unborn children, elderly people who are no longer self-sufficient, or terminally ill patients." I'm Devin Watkins.
On the occasion of the 8th March, International Women's Day, and during this Jubilee year, the Ambassadors of Hope from the Global Network advocating for the International Day of Prayer and Awareness Against Human Trafficking have launched a new call to action to combat the scourge. Kelsey Gossi has this report.
At the conclusion of the 11th edition of the International Day of Prayer and Awareness Against Human Trafficking in February, a group of young people, known as the Ambassadors of Hope, drafted a call to action. This call reiterated the ambassadors' commitment to praying and caring for those affected by human trafficking, and it invited young people worldwide to call on governments, institutions, and people of all backgrounds and faiths to take concrete action against human trafficking. Sister Abby Avellino, coordinator of the International Day of Prayer and Awareness Against Human Trafficking, said the decision to launch this call to action on March 8th was driven by the alarming fact that 70% of the victims of trafficking are women and girls, according to the United Nations data. And another organization marked the International Day of Women by drawing attention to the fact that globally, 122 million girls do not go to school, and about 50 million girls and young women cannot read or write a simple sentence. The United Nations Children Fund is determined to changing this narrative one child at a time. This year, they promoted a short film to raise awareness of the 3.7 million children in Afghanistan who do not attend school, 60% of whom are girls. Entitled Milk Teeth Being Young Girls in Afghanistan, the film tells the story of Fatima, a 7-year-old girl who is losing her milk teeth. She fears this because it signals she is becoming a woman and will become like the many invisible women in her country. The president of UNICEF Italy, Carmela Pace, explained that this year the organization wanted to dedicate the International Day to these girls in Afghanistan, a country where girls are prevented from continuing their studies, effectively freezing their future. Pache described how providing them with an education creates opportunity for development and protects them from risks, dangers, and violations of their rights, such as an early marriage, a practice which is still widespread in Afghanistan. I'm Kelsey Gussie.
The Holy Father has appointed Franciscan Father Victor Luis Kwamacha as Bishop of the Diocese of Bafata in Guinea-Bissau. The Bishop-elect has been serving as Definitor General or Head of the Franciscan Order of the Friars Minor for Africa for the past 4 years. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
Authorities in the Democratic Republic of Congo are offering a reward of $5 million for help in arresting leaders of the M23 rebel group that recently captured two major towns in the eastern part of the country, the Justice Ministry announced on Friday. In a statement, it said a reward of $5 million is offered for any person who helps arrest the convicts Corniel Nanga, Bertrand Bisimwa, and Sultani Makenga. Mr. Nanga, a leader in the River Congo Alliance, a coalition to which the M23 belongs, is a former president of the Democratic Republic of Congo's Electoral Commission. Mr. Bisimwa and Mr. Makenga are respectively the president and military chief of the M23. Meanwhile, the United Nations is raising alarm over the worsening conditions for thousands of refugees fleeing conflict in Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo. The UN Refugee Agency said on Friday that more than 63,000 Congolese have crossed into Burundi since the start of the year. About 45,000 displaced people are sheltering in a crowded open-air stadium in Rungumbo, a few kilometers from the border with the Democratic Republic of Congo, where the Congolese army and M23 rebel groups are fighting, the agency said. UNHCR is urgently appealing for a little over $40 million in emergency funds as up to 258,000 refugees could seek safety in Burundi, Tanzania, and Zambia. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky will visit South Africa next month for talks with South African leader Cyril Ramaphosa on finding a path to peace with Russia, a spokesman for Mr. Ramaphosa said on Friday. Mr. Zelensky's visit on the 10th of April will be a continuation of the South African president's ongoing engagements with both Ukraine and Russia for an inclusive peace process, spokesperson Vincent Makwenya said. Mr. Ramaphosa led an African peace initiative to Russia and Ukraine in 2023 and met with both Mr. Zelensky and Russian President Vladimir Putin. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio. Hello and welcome to the world around us, news about our environment. I am Festus Tarawali. Wildlife conservation, finance, investing in people and planet. This was the theme for World Wildlife Day 2025, marked on the 3rd of March. The theme underscores the necessity for innovative financial solutions to support biodiversity. This year's occasion coincided with the 50th anniversary of CITES, that is, the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species of Wild Fauna and Flora. In her message for the occasion, Astrid Schumacher, Executive Secretary of the Convention on Biological Diversity, emphasized that wildlife is essential for food, medicine, livelihoods, and cultural heritage, but that over a million species remain at risk of extinction due to climate change, habitat loss, and pollution. She called for greater investment in conservation, urging the use of innovative financial tools like wildlife conservation bonds and debts for nature swaps to fund protection efforts while benefiting local communities. The German native also stressed that collaboration between governments, businesses, and civil society is key to securing the necessary funding. Schumacher concluded by reaffirming that investing in nature is an investment in people, prosperity, and a sustainable future for all. A UN report released last year revealed that nearly half of the world's migratory species are in decline and the global extinction risk is increasing. The report was issued by the Secretariat of the Convention on the Conservation of Migratory Species of Wild Animals, or CMS. For more on the findings, UN News' Anton Uspensky spoke to Amy Frankel, the CMS Executive Secretary, who began by providing the background to the treaty.
The Convention on Migratory Species has its roots in the watershed meeting in Stockholm in 1972, which was the first ever UN meeting on the environment. And the reason for this treaty is very straightforward, which is that the kind of animals that we're dealing with are those that migrate and cross national borders. And that means already that for their survival, for their well-being, for their conservation, we have to bring countries together. Because if one country doesn't protect a species that is endangered, let's say, and another one does, then, you know, we don't have an even playing field across the range of the species. The basic premise of the treaty is to identify species that need to have some help in terms of their conservation status, need to bring governments together to work on very specific and, you know, practical conservation solutions, as well as looking at cross-cutting issues such as the kinds of threats that we have to deal with.
Could you give a couple of examples of those species which demand special attention and also the threats for those species?
We deal with species in every type of environment, meaning birds, avian species, terrestrial species, including, you know, mostly mammals, as well as aquatic species. So maybe starting with aquatic species, we have numerous whale species, for example. All of the sea turtles, the great sea turtles, the reason they need to be on the treaty is because they encounter in their migration many kinds of risks, including bycatch in fisheries, when we're talking in the oceans, as well as for turtles in their nesting areas where they come to lay their eggs. There can be destruction of those nests. Light pollution can cause stress and changes in the behavior and the gender even of the turtles in some cases. So that's one example. Moving to the land, we have species such as the jaguar, which is found in Latin America, a very important species that covers a very wide range. So it crosses so many different countries that it's, again, its survival is dependent on having countries come together to agree on measures to protect it and make sure it continues to exist. These animals need to be able to move, but if they meet a road or a fence or a railroad, et cetera, they're not going to be able to travel. So looking at ways to ensure that there's good connectivity for corridors for those species to move between areas and including across borders is also very critical. And then moving to our skies, we have the most species listed on CMS, in fact, are bird species. And there are many different species. Everyone has a favorite. The osprey is one that I love because it's found everywhere in the world. And the osprey, it's a good news story in many places because, you know, one of the early threats to some species were some of the chemicals that were used, some of the insecticides, and the osprey were among the species impacted, and they've recovered from that. The fact is that, you know, for each of the species that we deal with, there really are a set of circumstances where it's found and what countries have to be involved and what are the particular conservation needs and threats.
That was Amy Frankel, the Executive Secretary of the Convention on the Conservation of Migratory Species of Wild Animals, or CMS, speaking there to UN News' Anton Uspensky. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio. In our next program at the same time tomorrow, you can hear our feature, Family. I am Festus Tarawali, and do join us then. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.